Well, good morning and happy Sabbath. Thank you for joining us and thank you for being here. And those that are watching at home, if you're here, we want to welcome you. If you're at home, we want to welcome you also. We want to remind you to please keep your mask on if you're in the building. Of course, the speakers have been taking them off as they come up because there's a good and safe distance. We appreciate your cooperation and your help. We are all eager to return to what it was like in the past, but we would appreciate it if you can please cooperate with us. We're making every effort to provide a safe environment for everyone. If for some reason you feel that you need to have some fresh air and go outside, that is completely understandable. But for the safety of everyone, we would appreciate it if you can cooperate. I have another announcement that I'd like to make, and before I do that, I want to thank all of the people that have been working tirelessly in order to make this happen. If you look back, you can see how the sound and AV team has set things up. If you are not in the building, I'll try to take a picture and include it in the slides next week so that you're able to witness what Chris and Ruslan and Daryl have done. And we have Christina helping back there with technical things, and Irene and everyone that has been helping and making this happen. So thank you all. Like you heard that it was said earlier, on Wednesday nights, we are still having the book club that is taking place at 7 p.m. We will remain on Zoom. We hope that you can join us. And 7 to 8, we're in Mark chapter 14. And now I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles, to turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. This is our opening text. Hebrews 1. And it reads, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Let's pray. And so, Lord, we turn again to you this morning, grateful that we can be reunited, even if on a limited basis, on a limited capacity. We pray for your Spirit, and that you will touch our hearts, that you will speak to them, that you will be glorified in what is said. And I pray, Lord, you will touch my life and cleanse me, all of it to your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. So this didn't just happen this morning, you know. It's taken quite a bit of time and, like I mentioned, effort to be able to transform the fellowship hall into the place of worship, right? We normally would be upstairs, and we would be considering that there's a lot more space and there's more room, and of course it's a nicer space in a nicer place. But in order to have a little bit more ventilation with the doors, we said, well, you know, let's go to the fellowship hall. And so here we are. And last Saturday, we came together. We had a work bee Saturday night. And we came together and began to arrange some things. Of course, Chris had already been working on it with Russell and with Daryl for weeks prior to. So last Saturday, what we did, one of the things that we did was make sure that the sound was working and that we could get all of it just kind of going so that the people at home could listen, could watch, and the people here could also listen and watch and see the same thing on the screen that was happening here in the building, also at home. And so one of the last things that was happening in the evening was making sure that connection would work. So Christina was back there and she was on Zoom, and Chris was behind the controls. He was making sure that everything was working. And then we needed somebody that would test the microphone, somebody that would speak into the microphone, and we could see if it was working on Zoom and here. And so in all of what was happening, we were able to get a hold of Carrie, and Carrie came up. No, Carrie Balya Singh, and Carrie's up here, and he's speaking into the microphone and testing 1, 2, 1, 2, testing 1, 2, 1, 2, testing. Until finally, Christina said, "Hey, why don't you read something?" So, well, what should I read? I mean, I believe this is the way that the account went. I could be off on some minor details, but something to the effect of, well, why don't you find some Shakespeare? And so Carrie pulled out his phone and he found some Shakespeare. Well, I'm not exactly sure what play, but sure, soon enough, here's Carrie reading some Shakespeare. And I'm walking by it and I stopped. What's happening? And she explained what I just said to you. In any case, that evening, we couldn't get the problem solved. But Carrie read Shakespeare for a good while. Then the next day, Chris came back. Christina was at home, but she was able to join from home. And then guess what happened? We needed somebody that was going to read or going to speak into the microphone. Well, Chris had called me and I came down. And in the spirit of what had happened on Saturday night, I said, "Well, Christina, should I read some Shakespeare?" She said, "Sure." So which play? She said, "Julius Caesar." And so what act? And I think she said Act 3. I can't remember. But I started to read. I didn't get very far. Because I thought to myself, I could say it's boring, but I'd rather say I wasn't into it. I said, "I think I'm going to find something else." So I looked on my phone and I said, "Movie scripts." And as I'm searching, I said, "Oh, my favorite movie. Let me see if maybe the script is available." And so in my phone, and sure enough, there it was. And now I'm starting to read. Of course, Christina can hear me no more because we want to see if Zoom is working. So it's not working yet. Chris is too busy with the buttons that he's pushing and the cables and the things. And here am I reading this movie with a Scottish accent. And I think I read like for 10 or 15 minutes and I'm just reading. And I'm like, "Wow, this is really good." I said to Christina, "I'm gonna..." And Chris was too busy to even pay attention. Christina was like, "I think I'm okay." But the hero of the story is, I'm sure you've all heard of him. Oh, his name is William Wallace. That's, of course, a statue to William Wallace and a plaque to him, who died in 1305. And as you know what happened? We called my friend Reinhardt. We figured out the Zoom problem, right? All the way from Germany. He helped us. So we left Sunday night. Everything was in place. That night, I said to myself, "Oh, I'm going to watch that movie about William Wallace." And I did. And as I'm watching the movie, I was inspired. Because this character, and in this moment of just being enthralled by what is happening, and seeing this titan of a man, I thought of someone, and his name is Jesus. And I said, wow, now there is someone to really be inspired by. Someone who won't die. Well, someone who did die, but rose again. So that then I could live also, even if I die. In fact, I do have to die. And so his name is Jesus. And I want to take some time, the remaining of the time that I have left with you today, to talk to you about the hero of our story, the hero of this book, the hero in our life. And so his name is Jesus. And the title of the message, this will be a series, but the title of the message is, well, I have it on the screen. The message, the messenger, and the kingdom of God. The message, the messenger, and the kingdom of God. And you're probably thinking, well, what is that? But I'm glad you are thinking that, because I am about to explain it in what the time that remains. The first part, of course, is the message. When we're talking about the message, what is it that we're speaking about? We have to know, right? We must know what this message is. And oftentimes I have to expand that we misunderstand what the message is, right? Remember, the message, the messenger, and the kingdom. There's a message. What is the message? Is it possible that I may misunderstand the message? Well, absolutely. I'm going to go back to a document that you've all heard of. It's called the 28 Fundamental Beliefs, right? And in the 28 Fundamental Beliefs, did you know that the first document was actually written in the year 1872, right? Adventist Press, back in Battle Creek, Michigan. And it was written with the purpose of explaining that this is a synopsis of our faith. Now, it doesn't end there, because we have, although it was initially 25, we have grown, we have matured as Seventh-day Adventists, as Christians, as Bible students. We have matured. And so we have a better understanding of the scripture. So as a result, the document, right, that we have now contains 28 fundamental beliefs, this synopsis of our faith, because we have a better understanding of scripture. But this is what the document says. It's in its preface. It says, a word to the readers of this book. It says, we have written this exposition of our major beliefs to reveal how Seventh-day Adventists perceive God. And look at how he continues. And he says, through Jesus Christ, we see God. And he adds, right? It says, we have written this book to share our vision of Christ. And he adds again, we have written this book believing that every doctrine, every belief must reflect the love of our Lord. And it adds, we have written this book with the deep conviction that all doctrines we, when properly understood, center on him, the way, the truth, and the life. We have written this book to lead the deeper relationship with Christ through the study of the Bible. And he says, true doctrine calls for more than mere belief. It calls for action. And I think, I would want to think, at least I hope, that you're catching that there's a theme that we see in this word to the reader, right, of the 28 fundamental beliefs. It's pointing to Christ, to Jesus, better understanding of the truth, the way, the life. I'm going to sum up all 28 fundamental beliefs in one slide. Watch. You ready? One slide, all 28, a summary. Here they are. Everything comes back to Christ. It says, And so in the summary, Jesus is at the center of Scripture, at the center of our beliefs, recognizes and seek to lead us into a deeper relationship with Him. So the message, because remember, we're talking about the message, the messenger, and the kingdom of God. The message, Jesus, Messiah, is our message, right? He is, as an author calls him, the hinge of history, the center of history, right? The center of the Old Testament and the center of the New Testament. The bridge, or the ladder, if you would. The bridge that connects heaven and earth. The Bible pictures Jesus as the very center point between destruction and salvation. George Knight, in The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth. The message. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I think I already have. Look at what the preface, written by the publishers, as the Desire of Ages have to say. It says, Jesus Christ is revealed as the fullness of the Godhead, the infinitely merciful Savior of sinners, the Son of Righteousness, the merciful High Priest, the healer of all human maladies and diseases, the tender, compassionate friend, the constant, ever-present, and helpful companion, the Prince of the House of David, the shield of His people, the Prince of Peace, the coming King, the everlasting Father, the culmination and fruition of the desires and hopes of all ages. So we've seen the 28 fundamental beliefs. We've seen the preface of the Desire of Ages. But what does Scripture say? And daily, giving us the story of Peter and John and the disciples, really, it says, and daily in the temple, after the ascension of Jesus, of course, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus Christ, Jesus as the Christ. So here's the thesis in all of this. Jesus is our message. Right? We cannot forget that. We cannot confuse that. We cannot ignore it, nor can we relinquish it. We cannot replace it. Without Jesus at the center, we are sharing mere information. There's a difference between someone and something. And our message is about someone. The hero of the story. And we've seen it in the beliefs. We've seen it just by a glance into the spirit of prophecy. And we've seen it by a glance, the message that the disciples preached. So that's one point down. We have two more to go. So I will speak faster, as I know that lunchtime is coming. Point number two, the messenger. Who is the messenger? Who are we speaking about when we say the messenger? I am not a prophet, nor a son of a prophet, but I know one thing. This is my guess, right? This is that you're probably thinking to yourself, somebody's thinking, but wait a minute, Tito, this is really elementary. This is kind of like one plus one. It's like we know this. Well, I'm glad we do. The thing is that we can't forget it. We can't relinquish it. We cannot set it aside. We have to recenter to it, to the message, to Jesus, constantly. Hebrews chapter 1. I invite you there. We read it a little while ago. It was our opening text. Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll start right at verse 1. And as you look for it, I can hear some pages flip. That's great. I've missed that sound. The hero of the story is Jesus Messiah. He is our message. He is what we have to share. But our title tells us that there's also a messenger. Well, who is the messenger? Chapter 1. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Wait a minute. So it's telling us that in the past, there was a time in the past where God communicated with believers through the prophets, right? That's what it says. By the prophets. And so those prophets would be someone like Noah or like Abraham and Moses or Deborah or Samuel or Nathan or Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel or Daniel, Hosea and Zechariah. The Lord spoke to his children in the past through the prophets. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us in his Son. That means that not only is Jesus the message, Jesus was also a messenger. I like the way that the Andrew Study Bibles puts it. It says, the messages of the prophets of the Old Testament were like pieces of a puzzle, all fragmentary and diverse, where assemblage into the full description of God was only possible when the Son came. The Son is the message, but the Son came to also give us that message, to bring it and to put it together, so that we would have the fullness of it. And it says that God spoke in the past to the fathers through the prophets. And we've named some of them. And that he's speaking today in these last days through his Son. But what does the Son have to say? I would think that's an important question. Before we go into what the Son has to say, I just have to read this again. It says, whom he has appointed. This is continuing in verse 2. Whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the hero of the story. He is talking about the messenger. The message, who also served as a messenger. And now he's speaking to us. Well, what is he saying? I would want to think that's an important thing that we have to look, right? So what is Jesus saying? Well, I have it on the screen. I put together the very last words that you see in the Gospels. Mark, Luke, John, and those first words going into the book of Acts, the things that Jesus says to the believers, the disciples that have come, that have witnessed his resurrection just before his ascension. These are the things that he says. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. God has given me the power. We just read it in Hebrews. He says, you shall receive power as well. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. The Father has given me the authority. You're going to receive authority when the Holy Spirit has come. And this is what he says after that. Once that has happened, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go. Preach. Share the gospel. We'll come to that. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. So we start to see that Jesus gives the disciples a commission, and he says, authority has been given to me. When the Holy Spirit comes, you shall receive power from above. You're going to go out and you're going to testify of the things that you have seen, of what has happened to you, what prompted you to take that perfume and pour it on him. Referring to Mark chapter 14 that Kevin was mentioning earlier. And he says, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. In your family circles, in your neighborhood, in your city, into the world. Jesus, Messiah, is the hero. He is our message. He has asked us to be his messengers and to proclaim what we have witnessed. I know what you're thinking. Pastor, you've been going on for 25 minutes and you have said nothing new. I knew this already. It's like, this is like, like when I learned to tie my shoelaces, and now I don't need a teacher for that because I already know. I know it seems elementary. It's not so much that we have heard it and that we understand it. You see, where the disconnect is happening is in the practice. The disconnect is taking place in the message that we share. And our emphasis isn't always on the message. And that sometimes as messengers, we can become faulty, sharing something instead of someone. And so we must go back and reevaluate and use this opportunity not only to reconnect with the hero of the story, we must also fine-tune that message. We must also pray for that power from above so that what we share will not only be correct, but it'll be Christ centered on him to his glory. Two down. Point number three, the kingdom of God. Matthew 25, we see the disciples ask Jesus a couple of questions, and he expands. When will it be established? When are these things going to happen? What are going to be the signs of the kingdom? What's it going to be like? Well, we have visions and expectations for the new Jerusalem to descend and for us to live with God eternally. And that's great. The Bible talks about that, and we should. But before we get to that, we have to go back. And this going back takes us to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. If you would like to go there with me in your Bible, some of the text on the screen, but some of the others are not. You know the story. The Babylonians have come and they've taken hold of the city. People from Jerusalem, Judea, they've been taken captive with the Babylonians. There's a young man. He's got some friends. They're all dedicated to God, to his message, and to be his messengers. And it says that chapter 2 tells us that the king had a dream and that nobody could not only tell him the dream, but also interpret the dream. So there's a slaughter taking place. And Daniel says, just give us a little time. We're going to have a prayer meeting. And they pray. And the Lord shows him the dream and its interpretation. And you know what happens, right? Nebuchadnezzar's dream, right? There's a head of gold. Put some dates next to it. There's a breast and arms of silver. Each one is representing a different dominion, a different power. Then there's a belly and thighs of brass. Then the legs of iron. And just as you get to the feet, part of the same is iron mixed with clay. And we'll read verse 34. In fact, I have it on the screen, so you could read in verse 34. This is what it says. It says, you watched. This is Daniel speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. He says, you watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. And he adds, then the iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver and the gold, they were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. And then he ends in verse 35 saying, the wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. When we're talking about the message, we're talking about Jesus. When we're talking about the messenger, Jesus was a messenger, and he has asked us, his disciples, to be messengers for him. When we talk about the kingdom of God, we see that he who sits at the right hand of God will return and establish a kingdom that will last forever. He is that stone. We need to have a message to preach. We need to receive that message and be his messengers and preach the hero, because the hero will return and will establish his kingdom. And this is the way the Revelation puts the text. The similar story from the perspective of the New Testament. He says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and he makes war. So as we think about the end, the kingdom of God being established, and we see all of the kingdoms that have come prior to, we see that it's the stone. It's the hero that will return and establish his reign and authority forever. That's who we're waiting for. That is who we wait for. Have you heard of Dan Jansen? Dan Jensen, if you heard this, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the story of Dan Jensen. He was an Olympic skater. Went to his first Olympics when he was 18 years old. And these were held in Yugoslavia. As an 18-year-old, he was favored to win 500-meter race. Maybe also the 1,000-meter race. But as it turns out, he lost at the 1984 Olympics in Sarajevo. He lost on the bronze medal by 1/16 of a second. Waited another 4 years, came back. This time, they're in Calgary. The year is 1988. Again, favored, more developed, mature. Just when he was about to go race, he got a phone call, and his sister, Jane, who had been struggling with leukemia, was calling to wish him well and to say her goodbyes. He spoke to her, but she couldn't speak back. As it turns out, he skated that day and lost. Heartbroken. But then come the 1992 Olympics, this time in France, and he had already, for the 1992 Olympics, he had already broken several world records, and they're expecting that this is going to be it, man. This might be it. Well, as you may surmise, he did not win. You fast forward a couple more years to the 1994 Olympics in Norway. It's like, and it feels like he's going to lose again. Just like you're reading the story, it's like, what happened now? Well, he lost in the 500 meter. He had one race left to finish his career, 28 years old, to retire after. Not only did he win, he set the record, broke the world record, and he became, well, a gold medalist, an Olympic gold medalist. Here's a picture of Dan with his arms up in the air, his gold medal hanging on his neck. People were thrilled for him. In fact, a reporter tells a story that day, you know, he received the medal, took a victory lap. That day, as he departed the town of Lillehammer, someone on the road along the way, we're talking about Norway, someone who had been watching him for a decade and was glad that he had finally won, you know what they did? They took one of those signs that you put on your lawn, and they made a sign, and they put it on the lawn of their front house. You know what it said? Just one word. Dan. Finally. Dan. And this is what I want to propose to you. That's a great story. I'm glad he won. But there is someone greater. And it only takes one name, and it's Jesus. Jesus is our message. He was a messenger and now has asked us to relay the message of that which has transformed our life, because his kingdom will be established soon. Do we want to talk about that is present truth? We must be impacted by his message so that we can become messengers and tell people of this wonderful God that we serve, one name, Jesus, that they too may be healed. So my prayer to you, as we start to go back and to unpack these concepts and what remains in the next few months, is to make that commitment to the one, to the hero of the story. And his name is Jesus. And so, Father, we pray to you, giving you glory, giving you thanks and acknowledging that you are our King, that you are our Lord, and that you have given yourself in your Son that we may have life. And Lord, our heads are bowed, and we extol you because we receive that life. We receive your messenger. We receive his message, and we want to be your messengers unto the world, so that others may also come to experience the wonders of your love. Use us, I ask. Keep us, protect us, be with us as we leave, and return us, I pray, not only home, but soon to the ability to worship you freely, collectively, and give you glory in the fullness of this congregation and in this building. We ask it all, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.